Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday Women's Bible Study. And tonight you get two of us, Megan and Robin. Hello, Megan.
Hi, Robin. It's nice to see everyone.
Yeah. She's sitting up there in Vermont, and I'm sitting down here in steamy hot Maryland. I'm sure I'm not the hottest place amongst us, but it's been pretty steamy and sweaty today. But welcome, everyone. We were going to take a look at, not go through it, but take a look at Psalm 119. And Megan, since you were the one that suggested it, I do not want to repeat your words, and I'm just going to give you the floor.
Okay. Perhaps some of you in there haven't read Psalm 119. It can be a little intimidating when you look at it. You know, sometimes you look and you look to see how long this chapter is, and it goes for pages and pages. Anyway, it's 176 verses. The interesting thing about this particular psalm, I really don't actually know if it extends elsewhere, but the Hebrew alphabet has 22 letters, and this psalm is written with the sections, 8 verses of each, and it's according to the alphabet. So if you were reading it in Hebrew, and let's say we went with our alphabet, the first 8 verses are called A, and each of the first lines, each of the verses start with the letter A, as an example. The second letter, if it was a B, verses 9 to 16 would all start with the letter B, etc., which I thought was a very interesting thing, and you can see it in your Bible. You can see the beginning of it says Aleph, the first letter, whatever that is, Beth, etc. So that's a little interesting sideline on Psalm 119. As Robin said, we're not going to read through it because that's all we would do, but rather to give you a taste of some of the wonderful verses in it and absolute gems and how it doesn't say who wrote this particular psalm, but this person's zeal was completely for the Lord and his word. And there are lots of little verses that can be used as prayers, as, you know, things for you to think about in any day. So, well, yes, Rob?
You know, it's interesting because his zeal is the Lord. And he knows the word. We're going to, you know, we may read some verses that give testimony to that. But his prayer is unto God to quicken that word. His dependence isn't in all he knows or anything like that. His cry in that zeal, his cry in that study is for the Lord to quicken him, to teach him, to accomplish in him all the things, you know, the knowledge of the Lord, the knowledge of his judgments and his ways. This is what this cry is. The guys, or the psalmist, that is a wrong way to put it, studies the word. He knows the word. His desire is to apply it, but he cries unto the Lord to be quickened in it. He cries unto the Lord to teach him these things. He cries unto the Lord that he might know them. He doesn't presume to think he can read it and know it. He knows the Lord is the author of these things, and he has the word hidden in his heart, but the Lord is the one that brings forth that fruit, and we see that fruit. I on the one hand, encourage people to know the word, because the word is true. And when we choose it, that truth, we become partakers of that truth. And the Lord in his love and goodness and mercy truly has given us everything to know him. He's given us each other, by which we share and learn. He's given those who have been before us through things by which they can lend us a hand and open things up that we may follow. The word is alive, and we can partake of that life. And you, when you read the psalm here, you'll see this man's dependence upon God and his word and what he says to be. And that's his hope. Not anything he's done, not how smart he is or what he can quote, but he knows it, he holds to it, he applies it, and he looks to the Lord to perform it. And he has great rejoicing because of that.
Verse 9 sort of talks of what you're talking about there. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word.
Yeah. Taking heed. Take heed. Listen, choose it, do it.
Yep.
So, Megan?
Do you want me to just start reading the first few verses?
Yeah, as you said, these are sectioned into 8. And we're not going to go through, although it may look like we're doing some of the first groups of 8. But yes, go ahead and do the first group of 8.
Okay. Excuse me. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly.
Yeah. Did you have anything right up that I know one of these verses was one of your favorites?
Yes. Verse 5. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes.
Yeah.
That's like a, I was going to say it's almost a wishful thinking sort of expression, but it's more than, it's not, because wishful thinking is just a vain imagination where there is this opportunity, there is the possibility, if we trust the Lord, that he will direct us to keep his statutes. He will direct us as we make it our desire to know, as it says later, to know what pleases him, or the way it says it is, that to know how not to sin against him, in verse 11.
It's, you know what it is? It's a recognition of one's frailty and a dependence upon God. That's the beauty of the gospel, is that it is based on the frailty and need of man. But God says, come unto me. That's why I died for you. I want to be your God. I want to work my work in you. I want to be your God. And here you have a person, something that we all, I hope, have recognized in ourselves, how easy it is to be sidetracked, to be turned, have our mind in places that are unprofitable. I know actually that Davy had spoke about it, and I haven't forgotten for two reasons, and he was saying about like side slipping and how, have you ever sat down and prayed to pray and your mind keeps going off in all these different directions? And it was something I haven't forgotten, one, because yes, it happens, but it's to have it termed as a side slip makes it something to know that you can turn from rather than just having to be what happens. But, I mean, it is that's the thing. That is our nature. That is what we battle. That's where we find ourselves, is in side slips. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. It's a recognition of frailty and need, but a desire to overcome and avail oneself through that gospel that gives us that mercy and grace continuously, that we might turn again, you know. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I don't think we understand how much we lack respect for all of God's commandments. It is so natural within us to, our natures justify what we do and what we think. They just do. That is our nature. But when we have respect, and it's something the Lord, if we do as the psalmist does and cry out and go after and seek to know these things and ask the Lord that we might know these things, we will come to that place where we have respect unto all his commandments. And it's actually a good thing, because it's a humbling thing. Not in a mean, nasty way, but it keeps us from being high-minded and think we're different than other people. You know what I mean? We're the same. It's expressed differently.
I was looking at verse 3 also. Excuse me. It's talking about those who walk in the law of the Lord and seek him with their whole heart. They do no iniquity. And I looked that word up, do. And it's to do or make systematically or habitually, especially to practice, to commit evil, to work, you know, etc. And so, you know, when you're jumping ahead again to that verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee, so that I know what pleases you. When you know that, then you're going to walk in his ways, and you're not going to have a, you know, I'm not saying the battle's not still there, but it just gets dim. Like Steve was talking on Sunday, I think what we have tried to do, I'll rephrase that. I think what I have tried to do to some degree is not look at the things of the world. And what we ought to do instead is look at the wonderful things of the Lord and his kingdom and his, the life that he has and the freedom that we have in the gospel and the wonderful things we have in his word, to rather choose to look at that rather than to choose to not look at the world. Because as we choose to go after the things of the Lord and to go after him and knowing him and pleasing him and serving him, as we choose to do that, the rest of it just kind of disappears. And it's not even, it doesn't have quite the same pull that it does when you're really trying hard, knowing you've got ice cream in the freezer, to not go to the freezer when you're sitting watching a movie and there's no one else around to go and get ice cream. You know what I mean?
I have no idea. Please explain it further. Well, the thing is when you try, as you were saying, to not look at the things of the world, really out of that comes self-righteousness and judgment.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's, you're going to then have to judge those who don't do like you.
Yeah.
But when, and one thing I have found is I know the word. And as I, you know, continue my days, I am learning how to choose the word and do the word. And it is such a great deliverance. And there's no vengeance in it. There's no pride in it. There's really only thanksgiving. And in that, then, is born a desire for others to know the same thing. It's unearned. It's not owed me. It is God and his desire for you and me. To partake of that which is truly good. And I'm reminded frequently, and you were kind of speaking of it, is when you read in Hebrews chapter 11 and the testimony that is spoken of many who, Old Testament saints, and their testimonies. And it says, you know, that they were pilgrims on the earth and looked for a different, a heavenly home. And in that they were able to do right. You saw Abraham who was at peace generally. He didn't have to vie for things. He didn't have to say, you're wrong, I'm right. He walked his path in a manner that glorified God, that delivered him from all sorts of anger, violence, all of the natural things that every one of us knows what I'm talking about there. He had a different hope, and that hope bore a mighty fruit on the earth, one that is still a testimony to this day. And he was truly a person who, there's this, one of the things in this psalm is that the Lord is my portion. Abraham, the Lord was his portion. Did he struggle to get there? Did he struggle to have hope? Did he struggle to know that that which God had spoken was true, and that he could trust it, even though he was walking year after year after year with things saying that it couldn't be true? Yeah, he went through all of that. But he didn't give up, and the fruit of it was he, really the prayers of this psalm were, the answers were born in Abraham's life. These would have been maybe not the prayers he prayed, but where is a reflection of where his heart was. And we know the end of Abraham. We know the end of his conversation. We look and would like to have the same one. But we don't really look at what he walked through as this testimony became his testimony. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I know there was one in here. It was verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. When we look back at, or look at those who we know, but we have the Bible also full of people, we can see that those who we know were faithful, that this was how they lived, right there in verse 49 and 50. Remember the word on thy word, the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. A call to remembrance.
And going back to verse 25, it's sort of similar. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. No, I'm in a bit of a funk. I'm kind of, you know, hitting on the bottom. What have you? Quicken thou me according to thy word. My hope is in your word, in the promises that you have given us. Give me life, please, in accordance with that, because your word says it and I believe it. So, you know, he's waiting for the Lord to bring that, to kind of, what's the word? Not back up his word, but, you know, to stand with it.
Yeah, it's kind of like they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
Yeah.
I know one of the things that really struck me about last night's Bible study, because the men are going through the Thessalonians, and what a refreshing and a joy and it was for Paul that the Thessalonians stood faithful to the gospel, and how, you know, we forget that God's people are just that, they're people, and they grow weary and they can lose hope. And to have a people here and remain rather than here and depart is a sustaining fact thing for people. Paul, his walk was one where he was really always battling to get people to stay true to the gospel and not veer off of it and not go into the law and not lay upon anybody any other thing. And he was always battling to get people to go there, people even who claimed Christ. And he was, you know, he was just a man. And then he had the Thessalonians who were I'm trying to think of the word, but they kind of renewed him. They renewed him. And you can see in Psalm 119 where the psalmist is asking God to renew him. And of course, one of the ways God does it is just like with Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus with the Thessalonians. And it's not that anybody begrudges the labor to have Christ formed in another, but what a rejoicing when he is and they stand in it. But here you have, you know, a man who is in some senses alone, even as Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus were. I mean, they weren't alone, but they were alone. And yet their cries were unto God, and he answered. And you see the faithfulness of God in his keeping his word and sustaining his those who will trust in him. Gosh, you saw it with Elijah. Elijah kind of got to where his soul cleaveth under the dust. And what did the Lord do? He came down and fed him and watered him and sent him and fed him and watered him and sent him. And he just refreshed the man. The Lord's word is true and God is true and he will never forsake his children. This is a picture of what one of his children looks like. I know you had said, Megan, that in Psalm 119 are a lot of verses that are songs we sing.
Yes. The one particular one that I, some of you may know is verse 105. It's a song I think Amy Grant and Michael W. Smith wrote together. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. There are others. I'm fairly certain. But at this particular minute, that's the one that comes to mind.
And see, I was depending upon Megan to be able to point out all of these places.
You know, I did look online and I found some, but I didn't recognize any of the other names, and I did not have the time at the time that I looked to try and listen to the songs.
I'm just picking on you.
That's okay. Go right ahead. So, verse 17. Move over there. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. And where is it? You know, deal bountifully with thy servant. This person serves the Lord and is asking for the Lord to be bountiful with him so that he can live and do what the Lord has said. Another one in verse 27 is, make me to understand the ways of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. You know, help me to understand how. What did we read that other one, Robin? Verse 100. I understand more than the ancients because I went to Harvard. Oxford. No, because I keep thy precepts.
Well, even Megan, you could say because I've read the word or I've read it, you know, 70 times. That's not why he understood
sure.
more. It's because he kept the word.
Yes, which we know from
precepts.
Yep. We know from James that you show your faith by your works. So, you know, we'll probably say this again before we close out, but go and read it. This person, as should we be, he meditates on the word constantly throughout the day and is just, I mean, this is a real, as you read through, you really see somebody who is all about the Lord, his word, his statutes, his laws, his precepts, really his word in total, and knowing what it is and doing it.
You know, it's kind of interesting because like when you read verse 108, except I beseech thee the free will offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. You don't hear presumption and self-righteousness.
Yeah.
You hear a person that cries unto a faithful Heavenly Father in whom he trusts, but he doesn't come to him thinking he's somewhat, he comes to him desiring to know he who is somewhat, recognizing, you know, he's not God's equal.
Yeah.
Except I beseech thee, the free will offerings of my mouth. Give me understanding and I shall keep thy law. And we know it's not the Ten Commandments, but the law of the Lord, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. Give me understanding and I shall keep thy law. It all goes back to the Lord. And, you know, we 2 weeks ago looked, you know, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. A soul can only make its boast in the Lord when it's the Lord who has given that life to the soul. You know what I'm saying? And that soul knows it. And you see that kind of thing here. The boast this man will make then, because we see it. It said, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Let me see. That might be the wrong one. Where he goes in and he talks about, 41, let thy mercy come, mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. And those judgments aren't, oh, well, you're righteous and you're unrighteous. Those judgments are the judgments that the gospel brings. You know, we were condemned. Jesus died for us. He hopes in that salvation. He hopes in that word. He hopes in that judgment that God had made, that his blood is sufficient. I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies. You know, all of this is born of God. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Angie, I was in 41 through 48. 57, thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. That is overcoming. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. He wants to know the ways of the Lord. That was 57 through 64. It is a beautiful psalm, 65. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. That's interesting, isn't it? Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in the law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. These aren't just words. These are the truth. And it goes on, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy word, in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. This is a dependence upon God, in whom he has hope. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? I don't want to just keep reading, but this is...
It's hard to stop.
It is, you know. Yeah. Quicken me after thy loving kindness. Verse 88, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. This is a servant of God. I'm going to read 89. I'm sorry.
I was just getting that in there.
Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinance, for all are thy servants. Unless the law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I can say that's true of me, not that I will say, oh, the law of the Lord, not meaning the Ten Commandments, but just his word has been my delight. I mean, I've struggled to have a delight. Not that I ever didn't want to, but certainly I would have perished in mine affliction had I not had a hope in the word. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. Verse 94.
Verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day.
Amen.
That's good.
I will say, and I said it a little earlier, that when you know the word, as far as having read it and having it dwelling in your heart, one of the things I hope people will have a good hope in is that if you do desire the Lord and to know his ways and to do his will and to be his servant and to partake of him in a manner that sets you free from the things, you know, the sin that doth so easily beset us, it will come to pass. And truly, when the Lord begins to quicken to you to believe the word over whatever circumstance you find yourself in and to have a hope in that and to put off the other, it's a mighty deliverance, talking about that liberty that he walks in. It really is true. And I know back a couple months ago on a Sunday Texas service, it was Psalm 1. And I think I've got the right service and or the right scripture for any who might want to go back and look. But, oh, you know what? It wasn't that one. It was the self-esteem to confidence one. And you can go back in on the Texas services and find it because the notes will clue you in. But one of the things was, is, you know, praying those prayers, God will answer. This psalm is an example of just that. And one thing that was spoken was, you may have to pray a lot. It's okay. If you will, and if I will, if anyone will, the Lord will answer. And I know Megan and I were looking at ones where it talked about covetousness. And, of course, in 176 verses, it's easy not to know exactly where they are right now. But, you know, covetousness is a thing
36.
Of the flesh. Thanks. See, Megan can find it.
No, I have a note written next to it.
Incline mine heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. It's really, it's kind of like one or the other.
Sure.
At least I find. And you might not know you're covetous, but if you covet, let me put it this way. we very easily are all about ourselves. And when we're all about ourselves, there's covetousness involved. We covet people thinking well of us. We covet things. I mean, covetous covers everything. We can be covetous of tangible things, meaning something you can pick up and hold or use, and intangible things. Our deliverance and the new way that has been offered unto us is His way. And in that, and we avail ourselves of that, and we are free to partake of it because of the blood of the Lamb that just washes all our insufficiency away. Just washes it away. And it's gone for good.
The Colossians talks of covetousness as being idolatry. And so, you know, as you said, it's either the Lord's testimonies or it's covetousness, which is idolatry, because you can only serve one master. And it's either the Lord or it's mammon. It's basically the things of the earth.
I mean, that's true. And the Lord will, if we will cry out like this psalmist and have a hope that goes beyond where we see ourselves and the limitations of even our hope, oftentimes, He'll quicken us. You know, you see that word over and over in this psalm, quicken thou me.
Yeah.
He will, and He does. Sometimes it's easy to not know that He will for you, and He does, or wants to for you. And I could say for me, or wants to for me. But it's the truth. And as you grow in confidence in Him, that truth remains with you more and more, the knowledge of the truth.
Verses 139 and 140. There was another place that said something like that. Oh, there. Verse 139 says, my zeal hath consumed me because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. You know, jumping back a little bit because I saw it earlier. Verse 23 said, princes also did sit and speak against me. Princes, you know, the authorities, those who have sway in the world, did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. I didn't pay heed to what the world was saying to me. I wanted to know what you had to say. And here, my zeal hath consumed me because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Thy word is very pure. Therefore thy servant loveth it. And verse 158 says, I beheld the transgressors and was grieved because they kept not thy word. It's a sadness. But I'm going to still choose you. I'm going to choose, what did it say? To meditate in thy statutes.
Listen to this one, Megan. I'm going to go to 161, but it was 162. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Spoil being the bounty of victory.
Of war.
Yeah. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. 166, Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. The knowledge of the Lord's salvation is the knowledge of the need of the mercy of God to a sinner. This gentleman looked towards the cross, and I'm assuming it's a man, but we look back and know of his salvation.
Verse 175, let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. Please give me life and I will praise you. It's not give me life so I can go do what I want. It's so that I can praise you.
Yeah. 176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. What does it say about a contrite heart the Lord will not despise?
Yeah, I don't think that's in this one.
No, it's not in this one. But I...
Contrite. Is it Psalm 51?
Yeah, I was thinking that's where I turned. That's why I couldn't... let's see.
17,
okay. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. You see that here. A person who knows their hope is in the Lord. Who, what does he say when he said it was good for me that I had been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes?
Yes.
That was verse 71 of 119. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. It really is.
Yes.
There is an inheritance in the Lord that we don't see and don't touch, but that his word speaks of, that we can know nonetheless and look towards. And as reading this psalm, knowing his ways, which he wants us to know, if we will, these things like the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver will become our testimony, because it'll be true. We will believe that and know it.
This is, you could take out unto me and it still be true. The law of thy mouth is better than thousands of gold and silver. That is true. But this person wrote it and it was true unto me. You know, the law of thy mouth is better unto me. And what are we going to choose? Each of us here listening and whoever listens at time to come, you know, we have that choice to choose to make this unto me too. If I will believe it. It is true. But it doesn't do me any good if I don't believe it.
Yeah. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. I had to say it brings that up to me because we fall. But if we keep standing up because of the gospel, we will come to believe more and more. Because the trying of our faith worketh patience. Let patience have her perfect work. Don't get hung up about where you're at. Put your eyes on the Lord and what he can do. Did you have any other ones you wanted to throw out there, Megan?
Well, one that was similar to what we were talking about is about it being like honey. Let me find it quickly. Oh, drat, wrong way. Honey.
That's a British word, drat, or a South African one. Not that we don't use it, but Megan uses it a little. Drat.
Yes. 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I must tell you, my children have been sick, and I looked online, and a teaspoon of honey will help soothe a cough, like in the nighttime. I couldn't have that honey. It was really sweet, even when I had a cough. But this is, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. They are something that is precious to go after and to enjoy and to savor and to get into the word and read it and digest it and be excited about and live and share.
It is the best inheritance.
Yes, it is.
But you're right, Megan. And this is, I hope people will go back and read this psalm, even if you just read it in sections, you know.
Yep.
And maybe that's the best way so you don't lose anything by just reading 170-some verses at one thing, but to take, you know, it by eight verses and consider it in a day before the Lord, you know, meditate upon it. It's a beautiful psalm. Thank you for suggesting it, Megan.
Oh, you're welcome. It goes back over and over and over and over and over to the Lord's ways and how good they are and how they bring life and how they're valuable and they're worth your time. They're worth more than your time.
Doesn't necessarily mean it's easy, is the
no
thing I hope people understand, but it transcends the world, and it is better.
Yes. It talks somewhere in here. It's not a verse I've highlighted, so I'm not quite sure where it was, but about being small, but my hope is in you. You know, doesn't matter if I don't know another living soul, but if I know the Lord, well, that is good.
Yeah.
And if he knows me, that is good.
And he wants us to know his ways, which are good.
Indeed.
And that's really what this psalm prays for. So, yeah.
Go and read it.
Amen. And yes, ma'am.
I was not saying that to you, Rob. I was just saying it in a generic
I know
sense.
You were, but the truth is, it is, I say yes for myself too.
And
right?
Me too.
Well, so. Thank you everyone, and next week we'll be a foursome again, I trust. But Megan, it's been a pleasure looking at this psalm with you. Thank you all for joining us.
Good night.
The Lord bless you.